You're listening to White Wednesday, exclusively on the TKR Live Broadcasting Network.
Some experts claim to be a Bigfoot scream. It is regarded as the highest quality audio of the creature ever captured.
Fuck these people. That's all I'm telling you is, I want you awake. I want you angry. I want you to stop rolling over to these people.
Today, big box stores that have a footprint of 1,500 square meters or more are going to have to ask people, customers, to show proof of vaccination. Now, pharmacies and grocery will be exempt from this. So if you're going into a Costco or a Walmart or something like that, where you might be going in to buy groceries or visit the pharmacy, in that case, an employee will have to be with that person as they walk through the store to make sure that they do not go and buy other products or other items that might be in the store.
Fuck these people.
What would you be willing to receive in 1 year?
If I have to get one every year or once every 6 months, and so I do not run the risk of suffocating to death as 860,000 plus people have in this country, I'll do it.
As much as it takes, I guess. I feel like there's going to be more and more throughout time. And I guess if that's what's needed, I'll do it.
What if the CDC upped that number to 5 booster shots or more than that?
I'd do it. Because again, why would I want to suffocate to death?
Do you agree with vaccine cards?
I agree with all that, yes, because my feeling about that is other people's rights and privileges and their liberties end where my health and safety begin.
What are you, morons?
Bruh. Fuck these people!
You're going to have a Republican majority in the House and a Republican majority in the Senate, and all these people who've been so tough and so mean and so nasty are going to be delivered subpoenas for every document, every conversation, every tweet, every email, because I think it's clear that these are people who are literally just running over the law, pursuing innocent people, causing them to spend thousands and thousands of dollars in legal fees for no justification. And it's basically a lynch mob. And unfortunately, the Attorney General of the United States has joined that lynch mob and is totally misusing the FBI. And I think when you have a Republican Congress, this is all going to come crashing down, and the wolves are going to find out that they're now sheep, and they're the ones who are, in fact, going to, I think, face a real risk of jail for the kind of laws they're breaking.
Fuck these people!
My colleague mentioned Afghanistan, and one of the things that you hear among Russian propaganda in Ukraine is that the United States is an unreliable ally that is using Ukraine as a pawn. And they point to the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan as evidence that the United States cannot be counted on. How does the United States respond to that, and has the Afghanistan withdrawal complicated diplomacy in this regard?
It is not in our experience. The president ended a 20-year war in Afghanistan, something he had talked about consistently doing for some time as he was running for president and even before then. I think our commitment to our NATO partners is clear. Our commitment to Ukrainians is clear. We've sent more security assistance over the last year than in any year in recent history. We've been in constant contact, as is evidenced by the president's call this afternoon, with our European partners as we work to ensure we're in lockstep as we approach the next stage and anticipate what President Putin may or may not do. So what I would say to that is that sounds like the old Russian propaganda playbook, something we've talked about in the past, and I'd encourage anyone to be mindful of that.
Fuck these people!
The thing that Mr. Jones and all of the defendants and all of the witnesses are forgetting is that the Fifth Amendment is meant to be used selectively if you think that you might be incriminating yourself by answering a question. It's not a magic wand that you wave over the whole proceeding and you don't have to answer anything. So it's only to be used if you think that the answer that you're about to give will provide evidence to the government that could be used against you in prosecution for a crime. But if it relates to other people, if it relates to general events, if it doesn't lead to your own incrimination, you can't use it like that. So what we're seeing is this extravagant new deployment of the Fifth Amendment as a kind of, you know, get out of a subpoena card.
Fuck these people!
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of disconstruction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh Lord,
begging mercies for the sin. can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Oh man, I wouldn't have the energy to throw a fit like that tonight. If somebody ran 440 volts up my butthole. Poor Billo. What's up, Tony?
Not a whole lot.
No.
How's it going, everybody?
Yeah, I hope it's going better for them than me. I don't know. I think I've got this Omicron, Tony.
Oh shit.
I made the mistake of leaving complete isolation yesterday. Today, it's always a mistake to associate with other humans in any form, even when it's just walking past them in public. But at any rate, I slept last night and everything, but then today I just felt tired and I laid down, and I don't know how long I slept, but when I woke up, I felt like somebody had, like a couple of people had been standing on either side of the bed beating the shit out of me with baseball bats or something. And it's not all that bad. I don't feel like I'm going to die or anything. The symptoms are vague and not severe. That's why I say I think I've got the Omicron. But my brain is just kind of sluggish. I'm trying to kickstart it with coffee here. Let me take another drink. But there's just too much going on. I can't call in sick. People need our opinions, don't they?
Yeah.
The world.
Of course.
The world will go straight to hell without our opinions. We don't have a hate farmer, it doesn't look like. He's posting in the chat, but he's saying he has to work early. Well, am I supposed to accept that as an excuse, Tony?
I don't know. I can't stay too late myself. But.
Oh, well, what am I supposed to accept your excuse? People talking about, I got to work. We have a white race to save here. Well, we've got some stories to talk about. Perhaps that will kickstart my brain. I think the most interesting thing going on right now, and it's not being, unless I missed it on Tucker tonight or something, it's not being covered that much. But here's what, it's the trucker vaccine protest up in Canada, right? You heard about this, Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, here's one headline from ABC News. Canada police fear violence at trucker vaccine protest. Well, you know what that sounds like to me, Tony? It sounds to me like the Canadian police are a bunch of pussy F-words. They're afraid. It says right there in the headline, Canada police afraid. Oh. I guess when they said the Mounties always get their man, they were talking about it, you know, at a bathhouse or something, rather than what everyone always assumes. you hear this stuff.
What does that even mean? Like, what are you afraid of? Like, that they're going to just go crazy and start running people down in their trucks or
Canada police
or what?
Canada police fear truckers will stomp the living shit out of them for fun at Ottawa protest. Who knows? If you're afraid that of the violence, that means you're afraid you're going to get beat up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like, well, I mean, there might be some violence, but if there is, I'm going to totally kick ass. That means you don't fear it. You can even know you're going to get your ass kicked and not fear, but they fear violence. Let's see. It's a convoy of truckers set to descend upon Ottawa to protest a vaccine mandate for cross-border drivers is prompting Canadian police to prepare for violence and politicians to warn against escalating rhetoric linked to the demonstration. You ever seen that movie Convoy, Tony?
No, I don't think I have.
It's a Sam Peckinpah movie where Kris Kristofferson stars in it, and it's about this a bunch of truckers who I can't remember what set it off. It was some cop abusing some poor trucker or something like that. And Chris Christopherson got mad and drove his truck through the cop station or something like that. And the next thing you know, there was this whole convoy of truckers that were driving across the United States and plowing through all the cop cars and the cop stations and everything. And Chris Christopherson became this huge messiah figure that was on the news and was going to change the world and everything. And, I saw that movie as a kid. It was back during the CB phase, right? The Citizens Band Radio thing where everybody was like, 10-4, good buddy, yeah, and all that, right? And there was there was a big I don't know. It might have been number one. I don't know. But there was a big pop hit that was from the soundtrack to the movie called Convoy. We'll play it here in a minute. It's such a time capsule. But after having watched that movie, I got to be honest, Tony, I'm going to be disappointed if there's not a whole shitload of violence at this thing. I mean, the truckers, they need to just haul ass into town in formation and start driving through all the police stations and the vaccine centers and whatever the fuck they call their government building in Ottawa. And the head trucker can take over Canada and, you know, kick out all the brown people and stuff. that's the real plague. That's the real pandemic, is all these brown people. But anyway, to continue with the story here, Ottawa, Ontario, a convoy of truckers set to descend on Ottawa to protest a vaccine mandate for cross-border drivers is prompting Canadian police to prepare for violence. Shouldn't they always be prepared for violence? I mean,
yeah, you would think so.
That's kind of in their job description.
We didn't see this coming.
Wait a minute. What's that 9mm on your hip and that bulletproof vest for? How are you not prepared for violence? Anyway, Ottawa Police Chief Peter Slawley said Wednesday officers had been in contact with protest leaders whom he said have been cooperative and shared their plans. But Deputy Chief Steve Bell voiced concern about parallel groups that intelligence suggests will also turn up at the protest. Oh, yeah. What's the Canadian version of the FBI, Tony?
I don't know.
Whatever it is, I would think that these are that's the parallel group. If one six is, it's going to be interesting to watch this and see if anything like that happens, because if it does, you know, it's going to be government provocateur crap. If it's not the truck, look, if the truckers themselves go crazy, hey, more power to them. 10-4, good buddy. But,
trucking is the most common job, it's what I've called, like, more men. At least in America, are truckers than any other single profession. So, if they do anything, it's going to be a hell of a lot to deal with. It's a hell of a lot more of them than there are, you know, police or military or anybody else.
Yeah, and you know, trucking,
they got big old trucks.
Trucking is still like a bastion of the blue collar white man, right? And the majority of them are older guys, like, you know, not a lot of Zoomer truckers, right? Unfortunately, they're doing to the trucking industry what they're doing to everything else. There's all these organizations and NGOs and laws getting passed and all this other crap where they're trying to get women and people of color into trucking. And you've got all these, I happen to know somebody who was a trucking instructor, you know, that taught people how to get their CDLs and everything. Yeah. He was always talking about the, you know, the retarded Nigerian who almost killed me today that he was teaching and stuff like that. That, like, that's what most people who go into the trucking industry are foreigners, mostly like from Africa and the Middle East and stuff like that, which I don't understand.
They're getting a lot of paper. They're trying to get, like, illegals into these trucks, but it's like, and this is just from what truckers that I know have said this, like, dude, like, they've got these guys who can't speak English. They throw the toilet paper in the trash can. they have no legit papers, but they got like a fake driver's license and social security card, and they're trying to teach them how to drive these giant trucks.
Well, let's hope that they don't make too many Dothead Pajits into truck drivers, because if they do, like, the whole truck stop thing will go out of business, because, you know, they drive, and when they need to poop, they just stop and poop right on the highway, right?
Yeah.
They don't need a truck stop to poop. But it's a real overlooked thing. I'm surprised that I kind of understand it. And I don't mean this as an insult, but when you look at the young guys who are either in the job market or who should be, you can kind of see, you know, they all want some kind of a job where they're using a keyboard or a joystick or something, right? If they want a job at all. There's always jobs in trucking, and they almost always pay well. So, you know, and you don't even have to go to a trucking school. If you're really interested in getting your CDL and becoming a truck driver and stuff, you can just go around and start applying to the various trucking companies, tell them, no, I don't have one. But, and many of them will be like, okay, you know, we're going to put you in a truck with this guy and you'll learn, we'll get you your CDL. Right. But I guarantee you zero of the people that work for my uncle's business, where my granddad drove the truck and everything, zero of them went to truck driving school. They all learned from somebody else there and went up to, you know, went to the Department of Motor Vehicles and got their CDL. But yeah, let's hope this thing goes well. But it's a really contentious issue, because, you know, they already have this rule in America that truck drivers coming in have to be vaxxed. Now, I'm sure if you're coming in from Mexico, you can just say, I'm an illegal alien, and they say, go right ahead, right? But see, it's one of those things that you haven't heard mentioned much, and it's getting attention because of this Canadian protest, because now they're going to do it to the Canadians, and that's really going to screw these Canadian trucking companies up, because think about it. Almost everything that these Canadian truckers are driving around is coming in from the United States, because, you know, all the stuff that's coming in from Asia and Europe and all like that, for the most part, you don't need truckers for it. You know, you just need truckers to pick it up at a dock and carry it to one place. But all the stuff that they're buying from America, they come into America and they take it out. And, you know, the two or three things that we buy from Canada, I don't know, what do we buy from Canada? Moosehead beer and bag, I don't know. You know, they truck that in here, but when I'm sure there's a lot of our empty shelf problem is due to the fact that, you know, any truck drivers coming into our country have to be vaxxed, and a lot of them are refusing the vax. And just think what this is going to do to Canada's shelves, man.
Oh yeah, it's gonna probably destroy them. If they wanted to hold out, they could starve that country into doing whatever the fuck they wanted.
Yeah, well,
they can make the wildest demands that they wanted to, as long as they're all willing to stick together and stay out there, they'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know,
the fuck they want.
One thing, Jimmy Hoffa, I know he gave this speech at least once, but I'm pretty sure he went around the country giving it a whole bunch of times when he'd have big gatherings of, you know, he'd be giving a speech to Teamsters here and there across the country. And the press would always be there. And it was basically a speech he was giving to the press so that it would get back to, you know, whatever trucking companies and so forth that they were negotiating with. He would just list off everything you could possibly imagine. He'd say, you know, when you put food on your table, a truck delivered that. When you put a part on your car, a truck delivered that. And he would go on and on and on down the list. And then at the end, he'd say, without us, you got nothing. And he was right. And it's still true. It's still true.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how this plays out, because it could. I mean, they could go all the way. They could say, you know what, the boss truckers, the fucking new prime minister now, or else you all starve.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to take note here in the chat. Crychick says, good money driving a truck, but little time with your family. Well, I would think that most people would consider that a fringe benefit. I mean, yeah, I don't have to listen to the wife. And I don't have to deal with these kids. I'll just go. But, you know, over-the-road trucking is not the only kind of trucking. There's tons of jobs in local trucking where, you know, you're doing construction and delivery and all kinds of stuff like that. There's all kinds of local trucking, too. But Island Kippa says Montreal moose knuckles are amazing. Have you ever had a Montreal moose knuckle, Tony?
No, is that like some sort of beer?
I don't know. It's something about it doesn't sound right.
Yeah. I'm like, please be a beer.
is a moose knuckle something like a camel toe? I don't know. Oh. But yeah, yeah. So, I mean, but you can see why, you know, stuff like this, stuff like what Hoffa was talking about and everything. And I'm not being a conspiracy theorist who just claims to know 100%, Tony, but you would think that that's one of the fringe benefits that maybe somebody thought of ahead of time by encouraging all these foreigners to come in here and become truckers, is that they're not going to show any kind of solidarity with something like this. They're right, like, oh, here's my chance to make all the money. We will put the Canadian trucking people out of business, and we will all be Pajit trucking. We will have all the trucking. We will get the vax, you know. Well, I think now's as good a time as any. Let me find it here. Let's go ahead and play this song. I didn't have this plan, so let's hope it works. My internet be working slow. Okay. Oh, you piece of shit. I talk to my computer the way I used to talk to the motor on my car when I worked on it. You dirty bitch. Okay, here we go. This is Convoy by C.W. McCall.
Stuck in the granddaddy load. Then guns went boom and his ass went zoom. And the Mac took a terminal blow. on this here run to kick ass, don't you know? On 10-4, I know you can't say kick ass, won't see me, Mac.
Well, that big black Mac stopped dead in her tracks when the trailer blew high in the air. There was pieces of truck and some pieces of duck, junk and debris everywhere. Then the rig took a drink and commenced to sink, and there was no duck no more. But that evil smile from dirty old Lau showed south from the North Texas shore.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like we're not doing a show. It happened to disconnect on us during the... Of course, of course. There I was talking. Yeah, when the internet disconnects, it disconnects everything. Oh, Hate Farmer's got his hand up. How about that, Tony? Tony, am I sounding all right, or did it reset my thing to where I sound like a robot?
No, you sound fine. You sound fine.
All right, you can talk, Hate Farmer. Well, this is all working out splendidly. I don't know if he's talking or not. Yeah, he's talking, but I can't hear him. Oh, he's muted. Okay. Well, anyway. So there's more to this story, though. It says, some with far-right views have latched on to the protest. One online video includes a man expressing hope the rally will turn into the Canadian equivalent of January 6, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol by supporters of former President Donald Trump. Donald Trump Jr. took to social media Tuesday to endorse the Canadian truck convoy's fight against tyranny and to urge Americans to follow suit. At the meeting in Ottawa, police disclosed they are preparing for a range of scenarios, including the potential for violent outbreaks. Police say they are planning for the arrival of between 1,000 and 2,000 demonstrators, but say that the situation is fluid and changing by the hour. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said there was a small fringe minority who are on the way to Ottawa who are holding unacceptable views. What we are hearing from some people associated with this convoy is completely unacceptable, he added. Yeah, they disagree with him, huh?
That's
completely unacceptable.
Well, I mean, it's a hell of a lot of truckers, so you're going to have to fucking accept whatever they want.
Yeah, yeah. I bet there's going to be more than 1,000 to 2,000 of them, unless their federal security forces are going around locking up and intimidating truckers ahead of time. But... Well, there may not be, because there's another aspect to this story. Let me pull this other link up. This came to my attention right before the show started. GoFundMe withholding $4.5 million from trucker convoy until plan presented. So in other words, they're not going to give them their money. Nearly $4.5 million was raised by the GoFundMe page set up for the trucker convoy protesting vaccine mandates. Campaign states the money will go towards fuel as well as food and lodgings for big riggers taking part in the convoy. GoFundMe says money will be held until documentation presented to show funds will be properly distributed. What the fuck?
Is it a common practice that they do? I thought they were fine with people just setting up bullshit GoFundMes for whatever reason they want.
Yeah, GoFundMe has frozen access to the nearly $4.5 million in funds raised by the trucker convoy, now wending its way across Canada toward Ottawa in a protest against vaccine mandates. We require that the fundraisers be transparent about the flow of funds and have a clear plan for how those funds will be spent. In this case, we are in touch with the organizer to verify that information, Rachel Hollis, a spokeswoman for the crowdfunding platform, said in an email. Funds will be held until the organizer is able to provide the documentation to our team about how funds will be properly distributed. Well, how do you even do that? You know, you're raising money so that you can pay for fuel and lodging and food and all this kind of thing. And one would assume, you know, pay for stuff that you need for a big protest, like, you know, some kind of a stage and amplification, maybe demonstration material, you know, signs and that kind of things for people. And of course, above all, lawyers, you know, and that kind of thing. And they managed to raise $4.5 million, and GoFundMe is holding this money back. And, you know, and this just goes into a way bigger theme. The absolute complete control grid tyranny that we're in, that has been purposely set up in a way that everybody in the West, especially in North America, they have the government has complete control of everything, but they have plausible deniability because they have corporations do the shit for them. You know, when every city in the United States was burning down because George Floyd overdosed on fentanyl under Officer Chauvin's knee while he heroically tried to help George Floyd. I laugh, but that's actually what happened. How many millions did they raise for bail funds so that they could go and bail people out so that they could continue burning, looting, and destroying the next day? Did they withhold those funds to see what their plan was?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, this is it's totally hypocritical and bullshit.
Well, it's not just that it's hypocritical. It's that, you know,
it's not
the government snaps their fingers, and these companies are like, oh, you know. Yeah, you think you're going to have some kind of a populist uprising? You think you want to raise money and have a protest and all that? No, we can just totally shut that down, and there's nothing you can do about it because you don't have any rights with a private corporation. Nay, nay, boo, boo, right?
Right.
And you've got all the fucking NPCs, both the extreme left and all these goofball conservative ink types who are like, oh yes, we can't be regulating what these companies do. This is a private company. They can do what they want. I mean, GoFundMe can't deny you your First Amendment right because they're a private corporation. Same as Twitter and Facebook and Google and all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That's what was it? Rand Paul that got kicked off of Twitter for something he said, that, and he was like, well, I guess I just have to accept it.
You know? I think he's still on Twitter. I don't know, but there's lots of them who talk like that, you know, but the ones who talk like that are the ones least likely to get kicked off. Now, you know, even Rand Paul, just, he's just against vax mandates. He's not against the vaccine. Every time he talks about vaccine, well, I mean, he might have changed his tune a little bit lately because it's getting so hard to deny that these vaccines are not saving anybody from anything, but they're killing a whole shitload of people, right? And but Rand Paul has been this guy all along that he would preach and preach and preach against the vax mandate, and then he would say, but I'm fully vaxxed, and I think all of you should get vaxxed too. I mean, it's good science and all this. His big thing was the masks. And I mean, yeah, it's a bad thing to have people masked up too, but what's worse, telling people, okay, you got to wear a mask, or okay, you've got to let us shoot Satan juice into your body.
Right. Yeah. You know? The mask you can take off at some point. Well, you can't unvaccinate yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you totally can't unvaccinate yourself. And like I think one thing that I'm afraid, maybe Tony, maybe I'm not even suffering from Omicron. Maybe I am suffering from some quadruple or quintuple vaxxed person's fucking spike proteins that got on me when I was standing too close to them, you know, cause like you go into any, grocery store or big box store now, they all got pharmacies in there where people just lined up getting their boosters and stuff, and you never know, you stand in line and they're shedding their spike proteins on you, and the spike proteins crawl up in you.
I mean, they might. I'm not. Or at the very least, you know, we don't know how these spike proteins will react with other sorts of viruses. They could start developing all sorts of entirely unrelated to COVID superviruses coming out of these people.
Well, virtually every epidemiologist and geneticist and anything like that who works for anyone other than the government or one of the pharmaceutical companies is screaming to the rafters about that. This is a new term. Remember this term, immune system fatigue. They're saying that taking these vaxes in two or three doses and then getting booster after booster after booster after booster will cause your immune system to just shut down. And when that happens, then you're literally in a situation where, yeah, the common cold will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, who knows? Maybe athlete's foot will kill you. I mean, you'll be as bad as a 1980s homo who got three or four kinds of AIDS from the booths at the adult theater.
Right.
You'll have no immunity to anything.
And you're going to have to. If you're vexed and, you know, maybe you got a booster or two, you're going to be on these forever. You know why? Because I'm never getting it. So yeah. I'm always going to be one of these people that are producing these more and more virulent and stronger variants of coronavirus. I'm not a clean person. I don't cover my mouth when I sneeze, and I'm going to never take the vax, which means COVID's never going to go away. You're either going to have to admit that it's nothing to worry about, or you're going to have to take vaxes forever.
Yeah. I'm going to stop watching. I'm going to stop washing my hands after I poop and shake hands with people. Just random.
That's
people.
Right. Do it. Yeah.
I'm going to be like those Chinese women that we were showing the videos of when the whole coronavirus thing
just
first started. I'm
going
to start blowing my nose and wiping it on park benches and stuff. we're going to cull this fucking herd if we have to be nasty everywhere we go.
I've been fatigued from all the vaccine arguments online, and I'm just like, you know what? It does. Okay, sure, but you're gonna have to take them forever because guess what? I'm never taking it. Therefore, we'll never all be vaccinated. And if that's what you have to do to make this thing end, well, it's never ending. Then
I don't
it's
believe
it's never gonna go away.
I don't believe the numbers they're telling us either.
Right. No, me neither. What are they up to 90? They keep dialing it back and then pushing it forward again.
Yeah, right. well, I didn't believe it when they said 70. If 50% are vaccinated, then it's doing better than I would have thought, you know?
Yeah.
Because there are tons of people who never even would take vaccines like the flu vaccine and everything. And, you know, unfortunately, everybody, when I say everybody, I mean, you know, not all, but most, right? Everybody whose parents weren't either extremely woke or like members of the Church of Christ Scientist or something like that, they all got vaccinated a bunch of times when they were kids, right? But, you know, once you become an adult, they still want you to take a bunch of vaccines every year. They're like, well, you know, you don't want to catch the flu. You want to take this flu vaccine. And the doctors were always so nonplussed when I'd be like, for what? And they said, well, so you don't catch the flu. And I'd be like, yeah, fuck the flu, whatever. And they'd say, are you anti-vax? And I'm like, I don't know, whatever. I don't want your fucking shot, right? That's how I was when I was a young adult. Just because, I mean, I had never given it much thought, and I had never heard, you know, in the early 90s, there weren't that many places that you might stumble across where people were talking about how the vaccines don't work and how they're bad for you and stuff like that, the flu vaccines. But it just seemed like a stupid thing to me. It's like, you know, well, so, okay, so if I catch the flu, what, I'm sick for a couple of days and then I'm done with it, right? And right. It's a story I've told before, but God, I wish cell phone cameras had been a thing back then, because I would show this video constantly. It was at Carrier Air Conditioning Factory in Tyler, Texas. And they, on the floor at any given time, there were, I don't know, maybe 1,000 people. There were three assembly lines. And, you know, all the different departments that supported the assembly lines. And we came in one day and they said, okay, everybody, don't start work yet. Come over here. And they gathered us all up in this big empty area of the plant, and they explained to us that, you know, flu season, it was late September, early October, and this flu season is upon us, and, you know, you don't want to catch the flu. The flu is really bad for you, and it sucks and all like this, and we can't afford to have a bunch of loss of productivity and blah, 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 blah. So we've got this young lady here, and boy, they brought in a cutie, let me tell you. You know, all of your cute little nurse fantasies, they came true with this girl. I'm sure they picked her on purpose, right? And they said, you know, Heather here is going to come around and give you all a free flu shot. Now, you don't have to take it, and we're not going to judge you one way or the other, but boy, are you dumb if you don't take the... Okay, Tony, we back. Do I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, so they said, but boy, are you dumb if you don't take this flu shot. And so I'm sitting there, you know, they said, just go back to work. I mean, just imagine this, Tony. You're working in a big, heavy manufacturing plant. And it wasn't everybody swept up and everything, but it was totally not a clean environment. I mean, there was welding and brazing and metal cutting going on everywhere. And back then people smoked right on the line. So there's ashes and dirt and stuff everywhere. And the place is full of black people. and they say, just go back to work, go do your job. And she'll come walking up to you and offer you a shot. And if you want the shot, why, roll your sleeve up and we'll give you the shot right there on the line. Sounds totally sanitary, right? Totally medical procedures. But so yeah. I didn't even think about it. I was just like, yeah, no, I mean, you know, I come here to work and make so much money an hour. I don't come here for these people to shoot crap into me, right? So I'm sitting there working, and the guy next to me, he got hired on the same time I did. We were both new, and he and I had kind of become buddies. He says, "You gonna take it?" And I said, "Nah." And he said, I can't decide. How come you're not taking it? And I said, man, I don't know. I'm up here working, and they call us over and they say, hey, we want to give everybody a shot for free. And I don't know what's in that shit. And he says, yeah, you're right. And so when they came along to the two of us, you know, we said no. But most of the people in the plant, of course, took it. They were like, it's free and I won't get the flu. And so they had everybody, shot up real good by first break, I guess. And so about 2 hours, 2.5 hours later, when everybody came back from lunch, you noticed a thing starting to happen in the plant. There were all these people who were starting to sweat like crazy and talk about, oh my God, my stomach's rumbling, I don't feel good. And then the next thing you know, like every trash can in the place had people hunched over it, puking into the trash can. Like, I don't know, maybe a couple out of 1,000 people, maybe a couple dozen at least, just got given the flu that day by taking that shot.
Yeah, I don't know how that's better for productivity at all.
No.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
No. And I guarantee you, as dumb as most people are, and there probably were at least 100 people in there who looked at that and was like, I will never take a flu vaccine. And I remember looking at that and thinking, yeah, I was totally right. I'm not ever taking one of those stupid flu vaccines. But they just want you to take vaccine after vaccine after vaccine. Like, I remember the last time I went to the doctor, dude, they offered me like half a dozen vaccines. And every one of them, like, for what? And, you know, I said, hey, you need to take the flu vaccine. And I'm like, you know, you're middle aged and this, that, and the other. You need to take the flu vaccine. And I was like, no. Well, no. I mean, is there anything I can calm your fears about or whatever? Have you been listening to conspiracy theory websites? And I was like, no. I went and you know, looked at the manufacturer's website, and it basically said that they try to guess every year at what flu it's going to be, and they get it wrong, and there are side effects, and, you know, I'll just take my chances with the flu. And okay, well, now we need to talk about the shingles vaccine. Do you want the shingles vaccine? Like, for what? Well, so you don't get the shingles. Yeah, well, I probably won't get them anyway. And, you know, and that vaccine's got side effects. You know, just on and on and on. All these, I mean, next thing you know, they're going to be offering you a hemorrhoid vaccine. like, well, no, I don't want the hemorrhoid vaccine. I'll just take my time and not push. <You know? laughs> Right, right. Like, but yeah, I mean, just look, it's a progression that started with the original few vaccines. You know, in I think it was one generation, like my generation, I think they gave us 8 vaccines, right? And in one or two generations, it went from 8 to 83 vaccines that kids receive, you know, counting the boosters and everything, that kids receive by the time they go to kindergarten. And that's just not enough. So they have to, you know, for 20, 30 years now, they've been trying to convince people to get the flu vaccine, convince people to get the shingles vaccine and all this other stuff. But so they finally came up with this scheme. Well, we'll convince everybody that your various colds and flus are this new deadly pandemic, and we'll get them to, we'll mandate the shit. We'll either, if the ones that can't be convinced, first we'll tell them, okay, you can't leave the house without it. And, you know, if you'll just take it, you can leave the house and take off your mask and everything. And then we'll, put pressure on the ones who won't take it by telling the ones who got all their shots that, well, you could take off your mask and you could go back to a normal life and everything, except if it weren't for all these people who won't take the vaccine. And then once it gets to the point that that won't work, they're just going to try to mandate it on everybody. And like, I mean, and we heard the guy in the thing at the, this was people in DC. I don't know who it was interviewing him. I ran across this clip. But let's listen to it again. They're asking these people, how many boosters will you be willing to take per year if the government says you have to take this many? Listen to this guy.
What would you be willing to receive in 1 year?
If I have to get one every year or once every 6 months, and so I do not run the risk of suffocating to death as 860,000 plus people have in this country, I'll do it.
As much as it takes, I guess. I feel like there's going to be more and more throughout time. And I guess if that's what's needed, I'll do it.
What if the CDC upped that number to 5 booster shots or more than that?
I'd do it. Because again, why would I want to suffocate to death?
Do you agree with vaccine cards?
I agree with all of that, yes, because my feeling about that is other people's rights and privileges and their liberties end where my health and safety begin.
What are you, morons?
If other people's rights and privileges and all that end where this guy's health and safety begins, then why isn't he completely anti-car?
Right, right, right. Or if he really cared about his safety, maybe he should stop having gay sex at bathhouses and smut shop.
If he really,
arcades.
If he's really concerned about never catching a disease, I'm just asking for a little bit of continuity in these people's thinking. If you really, really, really are concerned about not catching any type of virus and not, as he put it, suffocating to death, then I suggest you blow your brains out with a 44 Magnum, and none of that will ever happen to you. You won't suffer a bit. It'll be fine.
Right. Because either this thing is blown out of proportion and you're just fine, or you're going to die from it. Because guess what? I'm never getting fucking vaccinated ever. Yeah. So you're just going to have to live with that.
Yeah.
That's my new take on it. It's like, I'm not even having the argument. I don't care if this is the deadliest thing in the world. If that's the case, well, sucks for you, because I'm not fucking getting vaccinated.
Right, right. I'm not either. And I'll tell you what else, Tony. I am not going to take any kind of vaccine for anything. Period.
I There was a time where, like, I would have for sure, but this whole thing, I never trust another doctor for the rest of my fucking life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, if you have to depend on medical science about something, and this is certainly not without its risks as well, but if you have to depend on medical science, then how about early treatment for these things? Because that's one of the things they're not telling you. The government is purposely making it so that you can't treat this disease because they want everybody vaccinated, right? And I can't remember his name. There's some doctor who was one of the big experts in these hearings that they had yesterday who was explaining how every single person that he has, and that he's looked at all the stats and everything, and that there hasn't been anyone die of any kind of COVID that got early treatment. In other words, when they first started having symptoms, that they were like, okay, let's get you some monoclonal antibodies and some ivermectin and all this stuff, right? And they're passing laws that you can't have it. And especially if you're white. I mean, we know that all these state medical boards now have it to where if you show up to the hospital with COVID and you say, yeah, can I have the monoclonal antibodies, please? And they're like, no, I'm sorry, you don't qualify. You is white. That's literally a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but let me see if I can find, this is seat of the pants stuff. Cause I thought we were going to talk more about the trucker aspect of this, but, this doctor talking about, the early treatment thing, this should scare the shit out of everybody, because if you do catch a strain of this stuff, and especially, if you're old or you have comorbidities or something, and when I say older have comorbidities, I mean like to where you're in the shape that, a bad flu might kill you, just a bad regular seasonal flu might kill you, and they can give you this stuff, or they could be just, they ought to just be dispensing this stuff to every household, right? But they're going to deny it to you. Like, I believe it was New Hampshire just passed a law that I can't remember if it's ivermectin or the monoclonal antibodies. But now New Hampshire just passed a law that you can just go to the pharmacy and buy the shit without a prescription from a doctor at all. But they're purposely killing people so that they can sell these or force these vaccines. And they're forcing all of us to pay for them, right? Because that's the other sinister thing about this is, like, everywhere you go, they've got a sign that says, just come over to the pharmacy and we're going to give you a dose of the vaccine for free. And no, it's not for free. They're expensive as fuck. They're making us pay for them out of our debt and out of our taxes, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not seeing this guy's thing, but... I had hoped I knew where it was, but I guess I forgot. But I thought it was on Columbia Bugle's page, but I don't see it. But yeah, I mean, I'll find it and post it to the Telegram later. But let me remind everybody, get your super chats in, and we're probably going to take some calls. Tony said he can't be here all that long, so we'll wrap this up for now and go to break, and we'll come back and talk about some other stuff. We, believe it or not, we have other things to talk about. But hey, more power to these truckers up there, right, Tony?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, God bless all these people who are bringing them food and, giving them support. If you show them the right support, they will stay out there. Yeah. If you tell them that it's okay, we need you to do this. You have to do it. And that's kind of where it is. I don't think, I'm not going to say it would be impossible to stop all these mandates rolling out over Canada, but, this is the best chance we have. So I if any of you listening to us are Canadian truckers, God bless you. Keep it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if you're a Canadian trucker and you're going about your business and you're not out there with them, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a couple of super chats. Yeah, we're online. It's going to be a banner night, Tony. We're halfway done, and we've made $6. Island Kippo with $5, and he just posted the silver coin there. And the Reverend Chad Kroger with $1 says, "It is time for all good men to come to the aid of the people. Get ye to..." Oh, it just shifted on me. Oh, it shifted for a good reason. Somebody, the Rev Chad gave some more money, but I gotta get back over here where I can see this. It's time for all good men to come to the... The Reverend Chad is... he's one of our neighbors in the Great White North. Get ye to Ottawa. Peaceful protest. Then they will call me some pejorative. Yes, well, of course they will, Reverend Chad. he just gave another $5. He says, "I have to go sleepy. If the F-words in Ottawa kill me, gas me, or disappear me, the Mrs. will be advised to tell you of our fate." Well, we will raise hell to find out what happened to you, Reverend Chad, and thank you very much. But yeah, everybody, get your super chats in, and you can do Spurg chats too. Let's see if we got any of those before we go to break, Tony. No. Well, these are some of the lowest participation streams that we've been having lately. But it makes me paranoid, like we're not doing a good show, Tony. But anyway, get your super chats in, and you. Also, we're probably going to take calls at the end. It depends on how the internet holds up and everything. So be prepared for that. Join the Telegram for that. Join the official Crypto Report Telegram. The link is right there in the description, and the mods will throw it in the chat. And Bear for All Seasons asking for our views on the Neil Young thing. Well, believe you me, we're going to talk about that in the second half. Join the Dutchland Telegram channel as well. Join the Green Room Telegram channel, and join all those channels on Odyssey. Follow our channel, and follow Dutchland, which is Hate Farmer's channel, and follow the Green Room, which is Nordic Frost channel. Follow Tony Castle's channel. Now, let me see if I can find this break segment that I toiled over. Yeah. In honor of Neil Young being such an F-word, I went and found a couple of very bass musicians. We've got a nice little bit of a break segment here, and the crowning jewel of this break segment is a Corona lockdown protest song by The Slow Hand, Eric Clapton, and Van Morrison. We'll be right back.
Crypto Report. We'll be right back.
So apparently the Capitol Hill police are spying on elected members of Congress, their staff, and private citizens, including donors and constituents. Attack on democracy, anyone? We know this from a piece in Politico by Daniel Lippman and Betsy Swan, kind of an amazing piece. We hope there are many follow-ups to it. It shows that Capitol Police intelligence is collecting information on citizens who meet with lawmakers. This would include people who would, quote, cast a member of Congress in a negative light. Really, according to who? The House Sergeant at Arms, William Walker, recently created a, quote, insider threat awareness program to identify, quote, employees who lose their compass. Secret police, anyone? That's what this is. Kelly Armstrong is a member of Congress, represents North Dakota. Days ago, he asked William Walker directly about this. Are you doing it? Walker denied it, apparently lying. Why is he still there? Congressman Kelly Armstrong joins us now. Congressman, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
If you didn't know any of this was happening, and I certainly never would have guessed it in a million years, it's shocking. Did you know? How do you feel about it?
I didn't know, and I think it's important to recognize that they're doing this, and secret surveillance on American citizens without probable cause is never okay. And it's surely not being done for security reasons. If it was done being done for security reasons, it wouldn't be worried. They wouldn't be worried about casting us in a negative light, and they'd be coordinating with our offices. Then the question becomes, why are they doing it? How much information are they keeping? Who are they giving this information to? And what is the real purpose of this program? And intend to find out.
They're doing it for Pelosi. She gets the information, of course. It doesn't stay within. I mean, the House Sergeant Arms works for her. And I hope Republicans, you know, stage a sit-down strike in the hallway. You can't have this in a democracy, can you?
Well, you absolutely can't. And I think it's important to recognize that without the bravery of rank-and-file members of the Capitol Police and good reporting, we probably wouldn't know about this. But it is a leadership change. It started last fall. It obviously got brought into full swing after January 6th in the spring. And they are literally collecting all kinds of information on our constituents, our donors, our supporters. And that they have to sign a book if they come into the Capitol. We don't know where that information goes. And they're obviously doing it to our constituents and at meetings we're having at home. And, I mean, listen, it doesn't matter who you're meeting with. If the police are spying on you without probable cause, that's a terrible thing. But it's even more chilling when people are redressing their grievances with their member of Congress. That's one of the things our country is founded on. And this is really, really scary, and it's really, really inappropriate. And I stand by what I said in the article. Whoever's in charge of this program should resign or be fired.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I'm sure the irony hasn't escaped you that this so-called attack on democracy January 6th has been used as a pretext to actually undermine democracy by spying on elected lawmakers.
Well, absolutely. And I don't even know what that means, employees who have lost their compass. That's the exact type of innocuous kind of statement that allows for a pretext to collect way more information than any judge would ever allow or any reasonable court would ever allow. And it's surveillance on our constituents, and nobody. This should not be a partisan issue. Everybody should be offended and everybody should be outraged by this.
Let them put the fear on you. Stand and deliver. Not a word you heard is true. And if there's nothing you can say, there may be nothing you can do. Do you want to be a free man? Or do you want to be a slave? Wanna be a free man, or do you wanna be a slave? Do you wanna wear these chains until you're lying in the grave? I don't wanna be a pauper, and I don't wanna be a prince. I don't wanna be a pauper, and I don't wanna be a prince. I just wanna do my job, playing the blues for my friend. Magna Carta, Bill of Rights, the Constitution, what's it worth? You know they're gonna grind us down until it really hurts. Is this a sovereign nation or just a police state? You better look out, people, before it gets too late. or keep on flogging a dead horse. You wanna be your own driver or keep on flogging a dead horse. Do you wanna make it better or do you wanna make it worse? Stand and deliver. Let them put the fear on you. So down the river, but not a word of it is true. If there's nothing you can say, there may be nothing you can do. Stand and deliver.
Welcome back to the Crypto Report.
Yeah, I don't want to be a pauper, Tony, and I don't want to be a prince. Oh, God. Okay, are we back? Are we back? Are we back, Tony?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Did we get to hear the whole song before the damn thing did that?
Almost.
Okay. Well, you'll get to hear it on the replay. and you'll get to hear me cursing under my breath at the thing disconnecting. But it's not doing too bad tonight, so let's not speak of it too much. When we speak of it too much, it starts doing it like crazy. But, let's see. Do we have any new super chats up here? Yeah, we got one. Lester Diamond with a dollar. Thank you, Lester. Says, oh, crap. Okay, see, I shouldn't have mentioned it. I'm not going to even say what I shouldn't have mentioned, Tony. okay. Now, let me see if I can refresh and fetch that comment. Lester says, think the NRA should have gotten involved in the Rittenhouse case. Think it's good the NRA moved from Texas to Texas from New York. Well, the NRA is a piece of shit. Let me just say that right off the bat. There for a while, it was good, but historically, it was bad. Then it had a really good run, especially like when Charlton Heston was the president or whatever, and Wayne LaPierre was behind the scenes running things. But like they had this attempted coup by Oliver North, which really wrecked the thing, and good old Ollie exposed all this crap where they claimed that Wayne LaPierre was misusing funds or something, and that caused the New York Attorney General to start doing this massive investigation into him and everything. But never forget, as our small-headed fellow human beings like to say, that the 1968 Omnibus Firearms Act that made it so that no matter what your state laws were, if you were convicted of anything that your state or the federal government said was a felony, or that if you were ever adjudicated as being mentally unfit, even for one day, that you weren't allowed to own a firearm, and that gave the, that created the ATF, and that just took all this federal control, you know, made people start having to fill out a federal little, of course there was no background checks and all that, but you used to have to fill out a little card where you signed your name and put your birthday on it and showed your license to buy a gun and all that. All that started with the approval of the NRA, you know. The NRA does not believe and has never believed that firearms ownership is a constitutional right. I don't care how often they say it, because if something is a constitutional right, then you've got a right to it no matter what, right, Tony?
Right, yes.
So, you know, one thing that we know that's total bullshit is this whole deal of voting rights. Voting rights have never been a constitutional right because we have always limited who could vote. And the internationalists and the leftists and all this have constantly tried to expand voting rights to the point that now you have literal illegal aliens in New York and California and other places like that voting in local and state elections and stuff legally, like they passed laws to let them do it. But voting has never been a right. Voting is a privilege, but it's the right to self-defense, which means the right to bear arms and all that, allegedly is not a privilege. It's a right. And the NRA has always done this big bunch of bullshit about, you know, enforce the laws on the books. We've just got to keep guns out of the hands of these criminals and so forth. And so, you know, they support the idea of it not being a right, of it being a privilege that's doled out to you by the government.
Right. Yeah.
And
no, that's absolutely correct.
And it's 100% un-American. Look, you know, back in the day, the law, just the law in Texas was that upon release from prison, you were given a horse, a saddle, a set of clothes, $20 in gold, a rifle, and 50 rounds of ammunition that work in that rifle. That's what they gave you when you left the prison because you needed that stuff. Right. And, you know, a funny story is, I don't know, I've probably told it before, but there was a guy like in the 1980s, I think, who he was one of these, they call them writ writers in jail. You know, the people that are constantly going to the law library and looking up laws and writing writs on the law library typewriters and stuff like that. And some of them are really good and some of them aren't. But this guy ran across that law and saw that the legislature had never revoked the law. They just weren't enforcing it anymore because it was obviously illegal, you know, under federal law and stuff to be given firearms and ammunition and all that. And of course, they weren't giving anybody gold pieces, you know, when they left. But he saw that it was still a law, so he sued and he won. Yep, that's a law and you're about to be released, so they're going to have to do that. So when they released him from prison, they handed him his gold pieces and his rifle and his ammunition and everything. And he took two steps and the Huntsville police arrested him and charged him with felon in possession with a firearm and basically just walked him right back into the prison. But, so yeah, it's weird how the law works, huh? But, are we still here, Tony?
No, we're here. We're here.
Okay. Thank God. Anyway, so
sorry,
but yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff that people claim are rights that aren't rights. And then the few things that you have that are rights, oh, they take those away from you and convince you. But no, the NRA is just a total piece of shit. I don't know what they've even done. The last good thing that they did was, and this was right before LaPierre, had to leave over the coup attempt and everything and all the New York State legal trouble started. They went all in on getting Trump elected, right? I mean, went all in on it like crazy. But what has the NRA really done for anybody's gun rights in the last, I mean, name me a thing in the last 10 years that they've done that's been real important for anybody's gun rights.
I mean, nothing really. Yeah. I guess they lobby politicians not to pass anti-gun laws, but you know, really, it's not up to them.
Well, if we don't
need the NRA to do that.
If they're this big one issue group, and they've got all this money and everything. How come they didn't take, how come they didn't file a lawsuit against Trump and take it all the way to the Supreme Court over the bump stocks?
Yeah, yeah, which is as ridiculous as, you know, the scary black plastic gun stock law. You know, these. It's as stupid as anything else. First off,
well, like a bump stock is literally dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb, but it literally just means your gun has recoil.
Yeah, well, I mean, if somebody's going to be firing an assault rifle in my direction, I would much prefer that they use a bump stock while I'm trying to run away than to take aim and fire one bullet at a time. because they're way more likely to miss me. but let's see. The Reverend Chad Kroger has got another for $1. He says it's time. Oh, no, no. I already read that one. It's weird how they lay out these. Yeah, I've read them all. I've read them all now. Okay. It's weird how they lay out the super chats, and I haven't seen a way. I would like to just have them laid out in chronological order, but they will randomly reshuffle them in the order of like what the amount is and that kind of thing. And you'll go to, you'll be, oh, there's a new one at the end. And then you start reading it. And you're like, oh, no, I read that. But anyway, and I don't know. Gun Owners of America seems like a pretty good organization, but, you know, they'll fall into the pause too. You know, one of the problems we've got, is that we allow black people to own guns. That's a bad thing. and yeah, there are black people who are responsible and moral and all that. And you don't want to say that somebody like that shouldn't be allowed to own a gun. But when you look at the big picture of things, you're like, well, no, you know, and the NRA and the Gun Owners of America and the normies, they always like to, they've got this complete cultural Marxist brainwashing to where they'll make their biggest arguments against gun ownership by saying, oh, well, our racial enemies weren't allowed to own guns at one time. the Second Amendment, if it wasn't for the Second Amendment, the blacks wouldn't have been able to shoot all those bad Klansmen during the Reconstruction. Or isn't it terrible that they didn't have the Second Amendment in Germany? They wouldn't have killed 6 million Jews in fake shower rooms, you know, and stuff like that. And like, come on, guys, come on, come on, come on. Max Rex is saying, I sent one. Was he saying he sent a super chat? Let me see. I don't see it up there. Let me refresh and see. Oh, yeah, there's a couple more up there now. I refresh, and there's more. Aaron Calgary with $25 says, thanks for the show, Az. Well, you're welcome, Aaron. I hope it's not too boring, because like I said, I do think I have the Omicron. And Tony, can you tell my brain is not moving as quickly as usual?
Mine is too, a little bit. I'm exhausted myself, so yeah. I'm barely staying upright myself.
And Max Rex says, you guys like any death metal, mainly from the late 80s, the 90s on up, like Morbid Angel, Deicide, Cannibal Corpse? Not really. Not me. There's a Slayer tune here and there. Is Slayer death metal, Tony? I don't know. There's so many genres to extremely fast metal songs where people are going, oh, you know. But there's one or two Slayer songs here and there that I like and everything. You know, there are adjacent genres that I like and that sort of thing. But nah, death metal's never really been my thing. I like to be able to, I don't know. I like to be able to understand the the singers. I like the singers to be good, and I like there to be some melody to it and that kind of thing. You know, and like I say, there's Nordic Frost is saying Slayer's trash. Well, I can literally think of two songs of theirs I enjoy, Nordic Frost. I don't know. Get off my case, man. I'm trying to reach across the aisle to Max Rex here, Nordic Frost. Here you are making fun of me. That appears to be all of them for now. And do we have any spur chats? I'll check one more time. No, we don't. Okay. All right. Well, let's get on to a story, Tony. We've got two stories we'll do real quick. And then if the internet's up to it, we'll see if anybody wants to call in and we'll read the flood of super chats that I'm certain are going to come in. And then we'll sign off. Okay, firstly, this is the one that I think's on everybody's mind.
You think it'll be good if I bounce out in here in about 30 minutes?
Well, I'm trying to wrap the show up in 30 minutes.
Oh, okay. So
on your account. Yeah. It's Tony's fault, everybody.
My bad.
This is from the Wall Street Journal. Spotify takes down Neil Young's music after his Joe Rogan ultimatum. Oh, no. Imagine that. So, you know, Titty Baby put his foot down and made an ultimatum, and the ultimatum was accepted. Folk rock star had over 6 million monthly listeners on the service, which he blames for spreading fake info about vaccines. I don't know about these numbers, Tony. Say he's got over 6 million listeners. Does that mean over 6 million people are listening to Spotify and Neil Young comes on every once in a while? I mean, I don't know. But
I don't know what that means. One, and two, couldn't Spotify, and if Spotify was smart, wouldn't they just make up those numbers?
Yeah. And now I have to try to find another way to look at this damn story, because when I opened it up the first time, it opened wide open. But when I clicked the link this time, I got the paywall. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. We don't need to read the story. We know what's going on here. Extreme goober smooching, retarded, wealthy communist hippie who's always been a piece of shit since the day he was born, since the day the best part of him rolled down the crack of his mama's ass and became a brown spot on a Canadian mattress. He started whining about Joe Rogan spreading all this propaganda about people not getting vaxxed. And I don't feel comfortable until everyone in the world is force vaxxed. And I demand that you take down Joe Rogan, or I'm taking my music off there. And what he didn't realize is he's a fucking has-been, and he's been a has-been for 20 years at least. And yeah, tons of people like his old music, but it's not like you need Spotify to listen to it, right? I mean, every song he's got's on YouTube. Most of the people who like his music long ago bought the vinyl, and then they bought the cassette, and then they bought the CD. But he's always been a piece of shit, Tony. One thing that a lot of people don't know, the song Sweet Home Alabama is a response. It's an in-your-face to Neil Young over a song he wrote in the 70s called Southern Man. And let me see if I can scroll up here to where Ace and a couple other people were talking about this whole thing. And I posted a little thing or two to point out what a giant shitbag Neil Young had always been. But the lyrics to Southern Man, and there aren't many of them, but there's too many of them. You know what I mean? Southern Man, basically, I think it's going to be faster if I just, let me do it here. Southern Man. I'll just search it. The lyrics to Southern Man, it came out in the mid 70s, and it was the most whiny, horrible song. And it's this Canadian who never, ever had, oh, now I've got to do a captcha. Palm trees. There's a palm tree. There's a palm tree. There's a palm tree. I want the button to say go fuck yourself instead of verify. Okay. But the lyrics, they talk about how Southern men are so evil to the horrible black man, and Neil Young, the atheist, excoriates the Southern man, that we don't do what our good book says. So, you know, like all atheists and Jews and so forth, they try to hold us to our own standards that they don't hold themselves to and don't believe in, right? And he brings up the whole cotton slavery thing and bullwhips cracking. And this is one of the earliest pop culture references that I've ever heard to, you've got to pay the blacks reparations. And of course he throws in there that all of our women are screwing blacks. And this is back in the 70s when that absolutely was not going on, Tony. Trust me.
Yeah.
And, they're all screwing the blacks, and that we're running around ruthlessly killing the blacks when we catch them screwing our women. And the lyrics are very short. I'll read them real quick. Southern man, better keep your head. Don't forget what your good book said. Southern change gonna come at last. Now your crosses are burning fast, Southern man. I saw cotton and I saw black, tall white mansions and little shacks. Southern man, when will you pay them back? I heard screaming and bullwhips cracking. How long, how long? Southern man, better keep your head. Don't forget what your good book said. Southern change gonna come at last. Now your crosses are burning fast. Southern man, Lily Bell, your hair is golden brown. I've seen your black man coming round. Swear by God, I'm gonna cut him down. I heard screaming and bullwhips cracking. How long, how long? And of course, like every Neil Young song, especially the political ones, it sounds like he's having a big crying bitch fit, and there's tears by the gallon running out of his eyes, and he's having a temper tantrum and all that. Let's hear just a little snippet of it.
We're sorry we have to do this.
Yeah, I mean, but it's so you can hear what I'm talking about, how gay and crybaby it is and everything. Here we go. I'm not going to give this the respect of playing straight through. Let's get to the lyrics.
Southern change gonna come at last. Now your crosses are burning fast, Southern man.
Okay, that's enough of that. Did I over exaggerate the extreme feminine screeching, toddler tantrum throwing, leftist pablum puking bullshit that song is?
No, not at all.
And no. That's the essence of Neil Young. It's like, Southern man, you're a bunch of Klansmen. I hope you all die and give your money to the blacks. And by the way, they screw your women. Southern man, damn it, damn it. You know, there's basically Neil Young's whole thing wrapped up in a little in a neat little package for you. And, you know, a lot of people are like, I've heard people on shows comment like, oh, I guess he doesn't believe in rocking in the free world anymore. And people who think that rocking in the free world is some kind of a pro free world, red, white, and blue thing or whatever, obviously have never listened to the lyrics. The whole thing is about how horrible we are, how we let poor people die in the streets, and how, oh, you know, we're not helping single mother crackheads enough, so they're throwing their babies into dumpsters, and that little black child will never go to school, never get to fall in love, never get to be cool, and all this shit. Just more wimpy crying bullshit. But it was on top of a really cool heavy riff, and so, you know, people, and I, myself included, it came out about 1988 or something, and I'd be driving along listening to the radio, and it would come on, and it'd have that heavy bass and that crunchy guitar and that, and, you know, the chorus hollering, keep on rocking the freeway. I'd just crank it up. I didn't give a shit what it said, right? But Lynyrd Skynyrd responded to Neil Young's Southern Man song. And we'll listen to that real quick. And then we'll talk about the one story we have left, Tony, and we'll wrap up, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Lynyrd Skynyrd responded to directly to that song, and they named Neil Young and everything. And the song was, I know you've all heard it, Sweet Home Alabama. Here we go.
1, 2, 3.
Turn it up.
Thank you.
Tony, does Watergate bother you?
Doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother you. You know what bothers me? You know what bothers me about Watergate? They didn't round up all those damn F-word communists and disappear them. That's what they should have done.
Yeah.
Including the ones on the Senate committee investigating them. Nixon should have just told Hoover to unleash. just rain hell on them. Nixon was actually really based. He Nixon said that the Jews were born spies and that the blacks were only recently came down from the trees. He said all this on it's all on the White House tapes. There's lots of cool stuff on those Nixon tapes. But those two songs, and unfortunately the internet did its thing during the song, but don't worry, you'll be able to hear it uninterrupted on the replay, which I'll get up as soon as possible. But you talk about a contrast in styles there. You had the whining, crying, limousine liberal F-word Neil Young versus the based Southern boys saying in Birmingham they love the governor, in a direct reference to George Wallace and segregation and fire hoses and German shepherds and all that. They basically told Neil Young to fuck off. And that's what I'm telling Neil Young right now too. Fuck off. Why don't you go ahead and just put yourself out of your misery, Neil Young. We have one last story, Tony, and I know we've talked about a lot of important stuff, but this one really hits home. I think this may be the most important story that we've covered in a long time. This is from RT. Hitler porn game slammed for historical inaccuracy.
Well, can you read that one more time? I can't have heard that correctly.
Hitler porn game slammed for historical inaccuracy. The anime porn game depicts Adolf Hitler with one too many testicles, according to reviews. Sex with Hitler, currently available on Steam, is essentially a comically low-effort anime porn game that tells the story of how the Nazi dictator has sex with several anime women while he tries to flee Berlin at the end of World War II. Okay, when are they going to get to the historically inaccurate part, Tony? Now, here's the funny part. While most reviewers admitted to buying the game as a joke or receiving it as a prank gift from friends. Yeah, right. That's what they say when you're like, hey, where do you keep the aspirin? It's in the second drawer from the left. No, not the second drawer from the right. Hey, dude, what's this big dildo? Oh, I just bought that as a joke. It's got poop on it, though. Yeah, that's a joke. Many were still somehow left underwhelmed. According to the reviews, the game delivers about as much as its title and premise would suggest. A low-effort porn game with dirt-cheap artwork, horrifyingly boring, long, and typo-riddled dialogues, atrocious gameplay, and completely forgettable and unsatisfying sex scenes. But surprisingly, another big issue. Did you know that porn games were a thing on Steam, Tony?
Yes, I did. I did know that.
I was blissfully unaware of that. The only thing I've ever bought off Steam was GTA 5, and if my internet will pick up, I'm going to start doing the GTA 5 streams again when I have nothing else to do. But anyway.
Yeah, when you're usually going through there looking for games, you'll see one here and there. But when you're looking specifically for VR games, a great proportion of them are porn games.
That's a thing that you and I are going to have to pick a particular time to talk about, Tony. There's a new documentary out, and it's about all the grooming and child abuse that's going on in these VR rooms. And But I don't want to get off topic, though. That's a thing that we will discuss in the near future. I watched a documentary about that last night or night before last. And I thought, Tony and I, and Hate Farmer, it would be really good too. Cause you know, he's got kids and stuff, to bone up on it.
If you remember, I found a room of them.
Oh, yeah.
on one of my streams.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to really enjoy your VR streams, but I always felt like as enjoyable as Tony's VR streams are, I don't know that I want him having that Satan machine strapped to his face. But anyway, but surprisingly, another big issue reviewers have brought up is the game's lack of historical accuracy. Okay, we know which viewers these are. Wait. Is that a wooden door on that gas chamber? He can't bang an anime girl outside that wooden door. The gas is going to get out and kill them both. Particularly its inaccurate depiction of Adolf Hitler's testicles. Terrible game. This is a quote from someone. Terrible game. First off, Hitler was known to have one testicle. However, the game gets this wrong twice, one reviewer wrote. In one scene, he has both of his nuts. In another scene, his sack just seems to be completely non-existent. I'm incredibly disappointed with the lack of historical accuracy. Tony, where is the fire and brimstone?
I just... It can't come soon enough.
I mean, can you
imagine? It's on its way, though.
First of all, you bought the Hitler porn game. And then you spent your time watching his sack and counting his nuts.
I got all lubed up for this.
I don't think the one testicle thing is historical either. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe he lost one in the war. I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's just one of those things that they made up, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of those things. So
yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing how many people that a certain group of people hate who, you know, lost some big war, and so they don't get to decide what the propaganda later on is, how many of them had one testicle. I think Napoleon's one, right? But anyway. But despite... Oh, according to some historians and researchers, Hitler might have actually only had one testicle. Yeah, some historians and researchers might have had only one testicle, as medical records seem to show he suffered from right-side cryptorchidism, which means his right testicle never descended. But despite the unforgivable anatomical inaccuracy, some reviewers still think the game is more historically accurate than some modern AAA titles. Of course, it should be noted that Sex with Hitler was probably intended as a joke, which would explain the on-the-nose obscenity and low-effort production. In fact, the game still has a mostly positive rating on Steam, with many leaving humorous positive reviews and some even recommending it as family-friendly.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Oh, God. What is going on with the world, Tony? Who do you think's mostly buying this?
I don't know. I consider myself an avid gamer, but sometimes, man, sometimes I wonder what's wrong.
Yeah.
What's
wrong with people? Well, I mean, it's a little too much for me to fathom. All right. So, well, do you think it was fans of Hitler or perhaps creators of pornography? Well, yeah.
I don't think your usual fans of Hitler would screech about him having too many testicles.
Yeah. No, real fans of Hitler would be like, well, according to Chapter 11 of The Greatest Story Never Told, Hitler actually had 14 balls, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so there's that. Let's see if we have any more Super Chats. And no, we don't. So we don't have any more Super Chats to read. That's very sad, very sad. Let's see if we have any Spurred Chats. No. Dang, Tony. We've talked about everything. We've talked about truckers. We've talked about Corona. We've talked about Neil Young and Lynyrd Skynyrd. And now we've talked about Hitler and Hitler banging anime girls as he flees Berlin and how many balls he did or did not have. You'd think people would have stuff to say, but apparently they don't. Anyway. Okay, so let's see. If you want to call in, raise your hand, but we're going to have to get to the point of what you're calling in about, because Tony has to go pretty soon. But I don't think it's going to be a problem, Tony. I don't think anybody's going to raise their hand. But I'm going to do something for everybody. When I end the show tonight, I'm going to do something a little different from the usual programming because of something that happened earlier. And I've done this before one time. People were begging for it one night on DLive, and I did it. And it was very popular. So I'll do it again tonight, but I'm not going to say what it is until I do it. Let's see. Bear for All Seasons has his hand up. Go ahead, Bear for All Seasons.
Hey, how you doing? I'll make it quick because I know Tony has to get back to caging the woman.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
The sauce doesn't cook itself. I get it, bro. I get it.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to just touch on a few things you already touched on. Just, you know, just how lame Neil Young is and just how, you know, the whole like 70s and 60s thing. I remember in high school, you know, it is cringe, but I'm not afraid to admit it. I remember in high school looking back and going like, man, what a great time it would have been to have been alive in the 60s, man. You know, great music and times, they are changing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anything that has a revolutionary feel to it when you're young is very intoxicating. That's why it works so well, you know.
Yeah, and now living through the Dirty Black Summer, I'm like, well, the music's shitty, and I know exactly what it's like to see a bunch of shit like that go down. So, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, that it's almost like I'm almost wondering if it's just a way for him to get his name out there more. You know what I mean? Because I remember about a month or so ago, I think he went on Howard Stern, which is funny because it, you know, that was another thing I wanted to quickly mention too.
Yeah.
And he was just cucking about the vaccines and all that, and you know, like, oh, everyone that works with me on my tours, they have to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
And something needs to be done, Howard, because you know this is important. And you're just like, dude, what?
No, he's not doing it just to get his name out there. If he was doing something to get his name out there, he'd be doing something that isn't so establishment. He and Howard Stern, they both have the same strange dichotomy going on. They look like hippies, and they act like old women who work for the establishment.
Yeah, it's I saw a Tucker clip with Jimmy Dore, and he did say something funny. He goes, someone that looks like a hippie and talks like a fed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes me think, I'm like, was that just imaged all fake, man? Like the whole 60s and 70s type of like
No, they were fighting against the man, but the man was the white man in the American government.
Yeah, the conservative white man. Yeah.
Now they're large and in charge, and it's absolutely, it will throw you off every time if you expect consistency from these people. That's why we make fun of the whole, oh, the liberals or whatever are so hypocritical. The whole Marxist ideology is about inconsistency. There's no consistency to them except that they're going to attack and attack and attack and attack, and they're in charge now. So like these Neil Young, the anti-authoritarian, who is singing about how horrible it was that they shot, seven or eight or nine of the Marxist hippie rioters at Kent State who had basically destroyed the town the night before and all like that. What a horrible thing it was, and how the man was coming down on everybody. Now they're going to be the man. Neil Young literally if you want to go see him perform his music and whatever like that, he is going to force you to inject chemicals into your body that you don't want.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So was there anything else, Bear? We got one more call to get to, and I'm trying to get off here before the top of the hour for Tony.
Yeah. How Ted just mentioned, also how Howard Stern was saying how like Meatloaf's family needs to be to come out and be like pro-vax now. And,
yeah. Well, what I think should happen is I think somebody should take Howard Stern and shove him up Meatloaf's corpse's ass and bury them both together. That's what should happen.
Did you ever hear the story about how his wife got spit on by some black homeless guy?
Stern?
Yeah, the new wife that he has.
Yeah, yeah.
What,
does he have another new one, or is it the new one that he got like 10 or 15 years ago?
Yeah, it's the new one he got 10 or 15 years ago. They're walking to the car or something, and some homeless dude just got crazy and like spat in her face.
Yeah, cool.
But the you know, the Yenta Howard Stern was able to get in the back seat of a cop car, and they, boy, did they go and find that guy and they go look for him.
Yeah.
Isn't that fun?
Well, I certainly wouldn't expect Stern to actually like punch the guy or something, right?
No.
All right, Bear.
He said I had to show her affection and actually kiss her on that side of the cheek to show her I wasn't, And it's like, yeah, sure, Howard. I bet you deep down inside you enjoyed it. You disgusting. Yeah.
Well.
All righty, man. Let you guys go.
All right. Thanks, Bear.
Take it easy.
All right. Let's take Nordic. Do you still want to call in? Your hand just went down. Raise your hand again if you want to call in. Okay. There he is. Nordic Frost. Go ahead.
I think I'm on the air.
You are on the air.
Huh? Well, thanks for taking my call, man.
Of course. What's going on, man?
Hey, I just wanted to clarify one thing real quick. I was saying that Slayer was thrash metal, not trash earlier.
Oh, I thought I read.
To make sure.
I thought I read the word trash.
Yeah, you did. Like, I think other people in the chat read the same thing.
Oh, okay.
And, I was like, I want to make sure that anybody listening to the replay didn't think I hated Slayer.
So you're saying this is a typo?
Probably.
Okay. I thought you were telling me.
I thought I typed it out right.
I thought you were telling me my musical taste was shitty or something.
No, I would have never done that. You know me better than that.
I know. But
I saw Slayer actually three times on their last tour. I saw them once in New York, once in PA, and then I flew all the way down to Mexico and saw them at a festival down there.
Yeah.
So, big Slayer fan, honestly.
Well, where do you stand on Neil Young?
Neil Young, here's the thing about Neil Young is I mentioned in the chat earlier, I think that musically it's fine.
Yeah.
But lyrically it's garbage.
Right.
I mean, I never really had too much of an issue with, a lot of his riffs, and he was very, very creative over the years, blending different genres.
Right.
Over albums.
Yeah.
And I will give him credit for that. However, the whininess is something that, never really liked.
Yeah.
It never really spoke to me. One of the songs I used to play on my show was Cortez the Killer.
Yeah.
But it was mostly for that, that riff that I really, really liked. But then when I started looking up the lyrics, I was like, oh, this is just more whiny bullshit.
Yeah. I think here's one thing about Neil Young, though. It's a phenomenon that I noticed a lot when I was young. Neil Young was one of these artists that you were supposed to like. So all kinds of people would say, oh, I really love Neil Young, but they couldn't name two Neil Young songs if you started to interrogate them.
Yeah, I would get that a lot. If it was, yeah, if it wasn't on the radio.
I like a lot of Neil Young's music too. Like I said, you know, the song Rockin' in the Free World, when that came out, they used to, I was living in Dallas and I was doing like a lot of commuting, and I had an AM FM radio in my little Toyota Tercel, right? And so I had, my only choice was the one classic rock station or the other classic rock station. There wasn't even like a new rock station at the time. Cause you know, in the late 80s, that was a pretty grim genre. Right. And, when that song would come on, I'd be like, oh, all right, cool. And I would crank it up because it was fast and it was heavy and it had a great hook to it and everything. But then you sit there and you try to, if you start going, yeah, I think I'm going to listen to the lyrics and try to figure out what his message is. And you're just like, ah, why does it have to be like this? But he made a lot of cool music. When he could avoid being political, which he rarely actually did, but when he could avoid being political, you could totally enjoy his music. But it's that way with a lot of musicians, and most of them, I don't even care, right? Like, I like a lot of the old 60s music and stuff, and I don't care about the politics of it or whatever. I just like to hear it. But there's something about the just in-your-faceness of it with Neil Young. And like I said, what an F-word he is. He's basically like the folk rock Rage Against the Machine of the 70s, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I never really had a problem with people putting, you know, their political stuff in music as long as they weren't grandstanding about it.
Or being, you know, too specific.
Yeah.
Like the best example of that is Pink Floyd. Like, Pink Floyd's music was always, you know, once Roger Waters became, like, they had their system where he wrote all the lyrics and the whole band wrote the music and stuff, which basically started with Dark Side of the Moon, right? Like, Dark Side of the Moon, you can listen to it and never think of it as political, but it's extremely political. But it's these huge issues that are universal, like time and money and love and things like war and things like that, right? And there's not any discussion of day-to-day politics in it. And so the universalistic aspect of it makes it awesome, right? I love that album. The people in the chat can excoriate me if they want, but I love the Dark Side of the Moon album. And but by the time Waters left Pink Floyd, he started making these records. Well, even before he left Pink Floyd, it's one of the problems with the final cut. On the final cut. He is literally bitching about current political leaders by name, and it just got worse as it went on, you know, and who wants to hear that? I mean, it's like, okay, I'm going to make this album, and for the lyrics, I'm going to read Mother Jones. But fuck that. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, but anyway, well, was there anything else, Nordic Frost?
Oh, well, one thing I want to bring up real quick,
okay,
is this is going back to the
oh no. Yeah.
You know, a few weeks later goes by, and she's claiming that.
Can you hear me, Nordic Frost? Hello. Hello, hello. Hello. Oh, fuck.
Nurse at the doctor, and they said, oh, well, if the kids get the vaccine, they're going to show positive for the next 3 to 4 months anyways. So she was pulling him out of school over a false positive. And it wrecked everything. And I've never heard this. I haven't heard this anywhere. And I know people are just taking these rapid tests, you know, like they're, you know, candy bars, really, just opening them up and
almost
doing whatever.
Almost every test that you take for anything, especially any test for anything viral, what they're testing for is antibodies, right?
You're right.
And so, like, if you take a hepatitis C test and it shows positive, it doesn't even mean you have hepatitis C. It means that you came in contact with it and your body responded with antibodies. And the only way you can ever find out if you have the hepatitis C, or this goes for hepatitis B and for all kinds of other viruses, is to wait for years and then have them take a big load of blood and send it off to the Mayo Clinic. And they put it under an electron microscope to see if there's any virus in there or not. And if there's no virus in there after a few years, like, oh yeah, well, you know, you got exposed to whatever virus it is and your immune system responded and defeated it. So yeah, you don't have it. But they'll go around and test people and they'll say, oh, look, you've tested positive for hepatitis C. They weren't even testing for hepatitis C. They were testing for the antibodies. So yeah, basically yeah. They kicked your kid out because or sent him home or whatever, because and if I'm getting something wrong, pardon me, because the internet disconnected like twice while you were talking, but I believe I've got the gist of the story. But they're kicking him out because he was given a shot that was designed to cause antibodies to happen, and antibodies happened, and they're like, okay, he's positive for COVID.
Yeah, and who knows how many other kids are in this situation. You know, I'm not a big public school respecter, but when it comes down to it, he needs to be in school rather than not.
Right, yeah, I hear you.
And it's one of those things where, and this goes with anything in the medical field. Like when I was working in a lab, say someone was diabetic.
Yeah.
And they do like the test strips and they say, oh, well, your blood sugar is high or it's low. Well, the first thing they do is they don't call the doctor. They call the lab for an actual draw.
Yeah.
So that they can get an exact, you know, count on your blood sugar and test you that way. It's not like, oh, I'm sick again, because he was out for a week and then they did another test on him. And that one was positive too. And I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? First of all, they said he wasn't going to get sick if he got this shot, even though I protested about it.
Yeah. Did the mother get him the shot or something?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
See, that's part of what I missed. I'm sure you told everybody that, but I missed most of your explanation. Yeah. Well, sorry to hear that, but you know.
Yeah,
people say the modern world don't be like it is, but it do, you know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not in control of much of anything when it comes to child care.
Right.
I'm lower than whale shit.
Well, if you were, you could take him out of the public school and homeschool him in all things rock and roll, right?
This is true, but I mean, I do that anyways. I usually let him pick out a record when he comes over. That's one of the first things he does.
You don't let him touch the vinyl, though, do you?
Not the actual vinyl. I just let everything. No, I learned that from cleaning fingerprints off my TV and everything else.
Yeah.
The kids are just perpetually sticky.
Well, not only that, I mean, they'll scratch it. You know? If there's one thing I know, and the reason I know it is because I know how I treated my records when I was a kid, is don't let kids touch your vinyl. But I didn't have any training in it, though. My parents were the worst. Like, like I've got all their old vinyl and stuff from the 60s that they, you know, all these records from the 60s and 70s that they had. And the first thing that my parents would do when they bought a record is, you know, they would take the inner sleeve, the paper sleeve that protects the vinyl. They'd throw that right out. Like, oh yeah, that's just packaging. They'd spend the rest of the record's life shoving it in and out of the rough cardboard.
Yeah. Well, the paper wasn't much better. And what the newer records have is a plastic sleeve.
Yeah.
A lot of times it has paper on the outside.
Yeah.
Just to print on, but the inside has a nice smooth plastic so it doesn't scratch anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the paper was a lot better, but it would still scratch your stuff up. But I mean, dude, the old rough cardboard, when you're shoving them in and out of there, it'll put gouges in it. But I mean, back then people didn't care, because like my parents had this Zenith stereo system that, like, the way that they would play music is, you know, it had the little arm where you could stack like 20 records on top of each other and put the arm on top. And when it would get to the end of one record, the other record would just drop flop down like 6 inches onto the top of the record under it. And the needle would start playing the next record. And, you know, that's not good for them either.
Yeah, I know. I knew someone who had a old jukebox like that. It was full of 45s.
Yeah.
And you could just, you'd hit the, you hit the number. It was like a vending machine. You'd hit the letter and the number,
yeah,
and it would plop down and then start playing.
Yeah. Well, all right. We got one more caller, Nordic, but I'm not rushing you off. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
That was about it, man.
Okay.
I'll speak to you guys later.
Okay.
You have a good one.
Are we gonna be doing a deep dive anytime soon? The people demanding to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I am feeling a lot better. Unfortunately, I missed one of my appointments due to the snowstorm that we had up here. It was pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
Snow usually doesn't slow me down.
Yeah.
But boy did it ever. And I was 10 minutes late for my appointment, and then they said they couldn't see me.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But,
well, how do they ever see black people?
I don't think they do.
Oh, good.
If you knew this area.
You did your research. All right. Well, have a good one, Nordic Frost.
You too.
All right. Jackson's Legionary, raise your hand if you still want to call in. We'll take one more call from you. Okay, this is the last one we're going to take because Tony needs to go, right, Tony?
That's right. That's
okay,
right,
yeah. This is the last call we're going to take. So make it good, Jackson's Legionary. You're on the air.
Hey, Asmodor. I just had a quick question. So I was reading the DS, and AA thinks that the vaccine is a type of like birth control, right? Like he calls it abortion juice.
Yeah.
My question is, do you share that opinion? But also, like they have all these, if that is true, they have all these different rounds of like, you know, boosters and stuff. Do you think the first one had that type of that abortion juice, as he says, and if so, do you think the first round targets guys or it targets girls? Because probably wouldn't target both.
It targets them both. And yeah, I think the original shot caused that. I wrote an article on my little blog page at Telegraph that I posted about 500,000 times last August. And I mentioned in there that the vaccines were causing sterility in males and infertility in females and all like that. And of course it causes women to have miscarriages like crazy and all like that. They're even like a lot of really heartbreaking stories that a few of which we've covered on here where, you know, some gal who's 7 months pregnant, the doctors and all convince her to get the jab. And then 2 days later, the baby dies inside of her and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, it anything bad you can imagine, it does it.
I wasn't sure, like, both of them, if, like, the first shot targeted both sexes.
Well, I mean, like the thing is, the shots are, it's not like they're giving you different shots. You know, when you go and get two Pfizer shots, you get the same shot twice. And then then when you go to get the booster, they give you the same shot again.
So it's not for the, like, new variant or whatever they say.
No, they've got a shot coming out that they claim is for the Omicron, but it's not out yet. They've got a bunch of randomized testing they have to skip first.
I personally think the shot has so many ill effects that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, you don't want to take the damn thing.
It appears to make people retarded.
Right. Is that cause or correlation? I'm not sure. But.
Either that or retarded people take it. I don't know. But I don't want to say retarded people take it because, you know, there are so many people who've taken it who I care about that I don't think are bad people that I wish had not taken it. Right. They, you know, most of them being like old people, they really scared the shit out of old people. Like my dad, you know, my dad is in his 70s and he's got a couple of comorbidities to start with. And he suffered a stroke not all that long ago. And so when all this stuff started, my dad just quit leaving the house. like he didn't leave the house at all. And his wife would go and do all the shopping and stuff like that. And they, he was so quarantined that they would do stuff like they had this entry room to their house, and all the stuff that would, all the boxes that would come in from Amazon or wherever, they would let that stuff stack up out there until there were tons of them. And then they would put on the gloves and the mask and take the boxes into, you know, the living room and disinfect everything, like disinfect the entire outside of the box and then open it and disinfect whatever was inside of it and take the stuff out. And he was always telling me, well, I need Trump to hurry up and get this shot out so I can take the shot and I don't have to be a prisoner in my own house anymore. Right. And he went and got the shot just as soon as they were available. So, you know, it, and my dad's not a stupid person, you know, but like I say, old people, they scare the shit out of them. And they've scared the shit out of a lot of young people too. But, it's understandable with old people, especially with all the comorbidities and everything, because like, but the strange thing is like my dad would never get the flu shot. I remember that from when I was a kid. They would all, if the topic ever came up, my dad would say, yeah, I don't take the damn flu shot. They're not going to guess the right flu anyway. I don't want the damn thing. I never get the flu, right? And even in his advanced age, he never took the flu shot. But he was, you know, all the fear factory had him sitting there hiding in the house and saying, please, Trump, hurry up and get that shot out, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, that was my question. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Okay, so that concludes. I'm glad we got some calls, Tony. I was going to feel really bad if we didn't. Let's see if we got any more super chats. Yeah, Aaron Calgary with a dollar says Skinner was singing as much about Young's Alabama as he was for Southern Man. Okay.
Well, the irony
is that a song, Neil Young have a song called Alabama. Maybe that's what he's talking about. But they specifically reference Southern Man. They said a Southern Man don't need him around anyhow. But yeah, so that looks like all of the donos, unfortunately, Tony. So let's you were about to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, it's like the irony is the response song was actually a lot more popular and has lived on for a hell of a lot longer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And Satan killed Lynyrd Skynyrd, but Satan has let Neil Young live forever. And apparently he wants to just continue living, which I think, I may put up a poll in the Telegram. Do you want Neil Young to keep living? Yes, no. See what people's response is. If anyone votes yes, we'll know that Neil Young is a member of the Telegram. Probably just monitoring us, looking for something to write a song about how terrible it is. But yeah, thanks for joining us tonight, everybody. I hope the show is enjoyable. But like I said, I'm feeling under the weather. I don't know if I've got Omicron or maybe I don't have anything and I just don't feel good today, but I don't know. It's weird. The symptoms, like I said, they're very vague, but I'm tired. And so it's probably the Omicron. Everybody in the world has had it by now. And this happened suspiciously right after I made the terrible mistake of stepping outside the bunker. So let me remind everybody, join the official Crypto Report Telegram and join the Dutchland Telegram and join the Green Room Telegram. As you heard, Nordic Frost said we're going to do a deep dive again soon. Make sure and follow Tony Castle's channel, follow Hate Farmer's channel, set up an Odyssey. And follow this channel if you haven't already. We broke 500 the other night. I think we've got 500. Oh, we got 507 now, Tony. We got two new followers tonight. How about that?
Nice, nice.
Yeah, when we started the show, we had 505. So welcome, welcome, welcome. 507 today, tomorrow, 6 million, right, Tony?
Well, maybe not tomorrow, but soon, soon.
Oh, okay. Maybe my math's off a little bit. All right. Let me see. I'm going to check the Spurred Chats one. Oh, it looks like we got some Spurred Chats, Tony. We don't want to miss those. Oh, it's Nordic Frost saying, I was saying Slayer is thrash metal. And Nice on System says, thoughts on George Wallace. Well, I think that he was cool, but he didn't fight hard enough. He should have deputized the entire state and had them oppose the National Guard or something. We should have had a second secessionist movement. And of course, he turned completely liberal and anti-racist when he ran for president. And it didn't help any because the joggers shot him and paralyzed him. But yeah, George Wallace, I mean, at least... Okay. Back, Tony. Tony. Oh, no. Okay, I'm back, Tony.
All right.
We're gonna wrap this up so that we can do the thing at the end that I promised. But yeah, George Wallace. I like George Wallace. He was good, but I think it would have been a popular thing if the Southern governors would have gotten together and said, you know, this billionaire's kids, the president and the attorney general, these Irish Catholics up north who are trying to force us to integrate, they can just take them all themselves because we're not tolerating it. And if you send the National Guard after us, we got rifles and bayonets ourselves. That would have been interesting, but you can see why they didn't do it. All right. And let's see. Do you have a take on the 100 lab monkey truck crash in Pennsylvania? Well, I mean, there's no telling what those damn monkeys have. That one woman who tried to help that got bit or scratched or whatever by a monkey. She's got all kinds of weird symptoms. There's no telling what they have unleashed on us. This is probably going to be the next, like Wuhan lab leak thing or something. You watch, you mark my words. There's some kind of weird lab generated disease that's going to get out. And Nice on, oh, that was Ragnar that asked that. Yeah. Ragnar asked that. Nice on System says thoughts on Sabbath 4, one of their best, hard to argue in my book. Let me, volume 4, you mean? Yeah, it's one of their best. It's got a lot of good stuff on it. As a matter of fact, I'm having a brain fart because of my Omicron, but it's got maybe my favorite Black Sabbath song on it. The one, Rocket Engines Burning Fuel So Fast, that song. And if I wasn't, I must be running a fever, Tony. Oh. Okay, Tony, what I was trying to think of was Into the Void. So I must be running a fever that I didn't think of. But yeah, it's one of their best. It's really good. Oh, God almighty. Okay, we're back. Tony, what I was trying to say before when I thought we were back is the song I was trying to think of was Into the Void. I must be running a high fever. I would remember that. But anyway, yes, it's one of their best. And with that, we're going to end the show before the thing restarts on us again. You can tip the channel at any time during a replay or whatever. You don't have to do it during the show. A couple of people have generously been trying to help with a little tipping to help me do the thing that I need to do to get the internet steady for reasons I can't explain, but they're getting me there, but I'm not there yet. So any help is appreciated. Just click on, if the stream's not live, click that support button down there. Join the Telegram, join everybody's channels, do all that good stuff, blah, 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 blah. We love you all. No homo. And we will see you Friday. Tony might not see you Friday. Hate Farmer better be here. I don't want to do it by myself. Hopefully I'll be over the Omicron or whatever this is by then. But yeah, here's a little special feature. Everybody loved it so much the one time I did it before. So we'll see you soon. Good night, everybody.